Isn't it nice to be chosen? That is us. Hallelujah. Well, bless the Lord for us being called into God's family, and may we always represent Him well, being a part of His amazing family. Amen. And think about the families that He's given us. Truly, as we prayed over our offering today, we remember all that the Lord has given us. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. He's given us Jesus. He's given us mothers. He's given us children, legacies, families, grandkids. Hallelujah. What a God. What a mighty God that we serve. Truly. Hallelujah. We honor you, Lord. And I truly believe that as we meet today in His name, our families will receive a major blessing today. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on our families this day. As we look at your word, as we finish our worship and continue to worship you even on the way home, hallelujah, may we take that worship into our homes. And Lord, as we honor mothers today, the special women that you've given into our lives, Father, regardless, we always give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I'm bringing some props today, so I'm going to set up over here on the side. Well, praise the Lord for being in the house of God. And this morning, we are going to look. You know, I was trying to think about who should we speak about today in Scripture. There's so many different... Oh, are we heading off to... I think the kids are on their way. That's cool. But I was thinking, who can we talk about today? There's so many amazing mothers and women that are in the Bible. How do you pick one? It's not easy, right? It's sometimes not easy. We could pick Mary, the mother of Jesus. That seems pretty classic right there. You can't go wrong there. You could pick Eve, the first mother on earth. But you know, today I thought what we would do is do something a little bit different. You probably thought I was maybe going to go for Proverbs 31 or something kind of vintage, right? But today, that'd be like getting the 57 Chevy. Like, of course you're going to pick, you know, Proverbs 31. But I'll tell you, today I decided to go for a lady that I'm not even sure if she's a mother. Oh, no. But I can tell you one thing. She acted very motherly. Which goes to show that even if you don't even know, in this moment, if she was a biological mother, the traits of a mother can be such a blessing. Amen? And we are going to look at Mark 14. And we are going to speak about Mary, not Mary, the mother of Jesus, but we are going to look and speak about Mary, the sister of Lazarus, the dead guy. Wrapped in his linens, brought back to life, that Mary. And Mary was really cool because when we look at Mary's life, when we look at who she was, and we look at this message, and it's actually spoken of in a few different places in Scripture, Mary kind of reminds me of somebody I know at my hotel that I work at. There are a small group of people at the hotel that I work at, and they run the villas. So when you walk into this beautiful area of our hotel called the Tower Suites, to the right and the left, in this beautiful koi pond with all, I mean, you think you're at the Jungle Cruise and you're in the middle of Las Vegas, but there's just foliage everywhere, gorgeous flowers, a sunlight atrium, and you see two special walkways that go to two different elevators, Villa 1, 2, and 3, and Villa 4, 5, and 6, and they go right up to 10,000 square foot luxury with your own private pool. And guess what? You get your own private butler. The butlers are cool. What a job. The art of hospitality. I mean, even I remember when our daughter was small and we watched a movie. It was Annie. You remember Annie? And you remember Daddy Warbucks had everybody at his disposal. And I remember our daughter, a little six-year-old, said, "Dad, can we have servants?" Because she thought that looked so cool. She thought that looked cool. You have a driver, you have a cleaner, you have the chef, you have the private chef, and on and on and on. But I'll tell you, Mary knew the art of hospitality. Not only that, she was thoughtful. When you look at her in Scripture, she used her hair on the moment that we're going to look at today to dry the feet of Jesus. Her acts of kindness, she served, she was devoted, and she really was a loving person. Now, doesn't that sound like a mom? It might not always sound like your mom, but we'll look into that too. But we are going to look today at Mary. So let's go ahead and see here, and I'll read it to you here. Mark 14, 3 through 9. Actually, I think I should probably... Yeah, we'll start with 3. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table, speaking of Jesus, while he was in Bethany, reclining at the table, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume, made of pure nard. She broke the jar. That sounds wild, doesn't it, when you think about it? She broke the jar. Why didn't she just uncork it? She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time that you want, but you will not always have me." She did what she could. What an interesting line. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. That is a cool thing for Jesus to say about you. Isn't that awesome? So, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word. Thank you that we are told that you have almost brought her into our memories today, thousands of years later, for a specific reason. And may that reason be unveiled to our heart, the attributes of this amazing Mary, sister of Lazarus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. In other words, she was an amazing woman. Do you know some of these amazing women? Are they in your life? Have you had them? We hear lots of great stories that run through our family, and we're always blessed by them. But thank God for giving us mothers. Hallelujah. Even if they were just like us, faltered, broken, mistaken. It sounds like us, does it not? Thank God for giving us mothers. Their hard work sometimes really pays off, amen? And really forges us and makes us into the people that we are. The nurturing people that we are called to be. Caring, supportive, loving. And my mom, you know what her big gig was? Overprotective. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Too much, Mom. But we love them for it, don't we? Do you remember being a teenager? Was your mom overprotective? Do you remember that? Or teenagers that are here today? Is that your mom today? You might think it's a bummer, but let me tell you, I can remember where I grew up in Redlands, California. There was, right outside of our apartment, two streets that kind of converged. And I wasn't allowed to get in the car with myself or my friends and go across that street because my mother said, "That street is a death trap." She declared that street a death trap. This is Redlands, California. There's only 40,000 people living in that little town back in the 90s. And I'm thinking, "Mom, this isn't LA. This isn't San Francisco. This isn't crazy hills and stuff. This is Redlands. Give me a break. The death trap?" So my brother and I used to always tease and go, "Mom, we were going to go across the death trap." But I tell you, you know what she would say? When we'd say, "Mom, come on, Kenny and Jimmy get to go across the death trap. They drive it every day to school." Well, if Kenny and Jimmy were jumping off a cliff, would you do it also? This is the kind of, that was my upbringing. But when I was young, I couldn't stand it. I could not stand it. You ever been there? I'm like, "All right, Mom, enough." And she wanted to see my friends' driver's licenses to make sure they were legitimate. She wanted to call their parents to make sure they had enough. I need to connect with the parents and make sure there really are parents behind these kids. What kind of upbringing? I want to make sure that, you know, she even came to my job interviews when I was a kid. She's like talking for me. But you know what's so crazy? I just went to my son's first job interview when he was 15 and a half. Guess who did all the talking? I ended up doing all the talking. I am my mother. Oh, dear Lord, this is so cyclical. But as we meet today and you think about it, even if your mother is your biological mother, or is it an amazing woman that might have been in your life to raise and form you? Do you know what I'm talking about? Even my grandmother was so important to my life in such a major way. We praise God for mothers and those motherly figures that we have, the support systems that we have. And you know what's interesting? In the definition, one of the definitions I found says, basically, we sometimes think that a mother has to be someone that is related to us by DNA. But you know what's crazy? When I looked it up in one dictionary, it says someone who protects and cares. Oh, I thought that was such a great way to look at it, because I thought of today my grandmother Marie Martinez. And when my parents were going through a divorce, I started sending out my college applications to a few places, San Francisco, Santa Clara, your neck of the woods. I sent out to UNLV. I can't remember where else. I'd have to think about it. But I got two letters back. One was up from San Francisco, and one was here in Vegas from UNLV. And I said, Grandma, I don't know where I should go, San Francisco or Vegas. And she said, Mijo, which means my son. I'm her son. She said, Mijo, I don't know which is the greater of the two evils. But I tell you, today I will never forget. She loved me, wanted to protect me, care for me. And today we think about those amazing matriarchs that we have in our families, amen? And we honor them, we give thanks to God for them, and we think about those incredible women in our life, and today we can honestly say that we will pray for them, amen? And we will do that at the end of this service. But think about the amazing woman that might be next to you today. Thank God for her. Amen? Pretend like I'm over there, babe. The mother of my children. Now, just out of curiosity, I wanted to see what Matthew has to say about this same. Matthew talks about this same passage of Scripture. It's Matthew 26. I'm going to read it to you quickly because it's cool to get Matthew's perspective. Matthew says about her. Let's see here. Matthew 26. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. This is the same story just in Matthew 26, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. Why this waste? They asked. This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor. Aware of this, Jesus said to them, why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. And I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. I wanted to reiterate the fact that she is remembered again and again, and may we remember also the amazing women in our life. Amen. Hallelujah, because what she did was spectacular. So this morning, as we think about the great women in our life, and as I was thinking about Mary, the sister of Lazarus, I don't know if she was a mother. Does anybody know here? I don't know. I don't know, because I just read two versions and it doesn't tell me. But she definitely had a maternal instinct of taking care, amen? Don't you love being taken care of? And not only that, but for this, Jesus says she will forever be remembered, and her story speaks for itself wherever this story goes. Amen. So first thing this morning I wanted to mention is this. What do we learn from her? And I wanted to put this in the context of mothers. Mothers pour out their best onto families and homes. Sometimes their best is limited, just like ours, amen? But mothers pour out their best onto families and homes. And I thought about my mother today, and my wife and I were talking about it. There was a moment my father lost his job, and we had to move into my grandparents' house. And there was only a limited amount of space in this home, so I actually moved into the backyard into a camper, and it was cool. If I haven't told you about it, I put electricity, I built an awning with Christmas lights, I put my Nintendo, I had my little fridge, I put my stereo, I had a little rocking out pad in Grandma Marie's backyard. But you know what my mom was doing to compensate for the family? Driving to Riverside, which is probably about a half hour or more back in those days, driving to Riverside to be a legal secretary and type up all these legal things for a lawyer, and then coming back in the evening and then going to a waitressing job in Little Redlands, California at the family restaurant and bringing me home chef salad with delicious French dressing. What a time to remember mom kicking up into really making the family work. And Mary surely poured out her best that day. When she brought out that alabaster jar, I bet you everybody in the room, knowing what was in that jar, did one of these. You have to be kidding me. Is she really going to crack that open? She did, literally. She cracked it open. And their faces would have dropped in amazement. You have to be kidding me. In her jar was pure nard, which would have probably been imported all the way from India. If you've seen a map, I don't think I need to tell you how far India is from Israel. That is unbelievable, from the mountains of India. And this might not sound like much to you, but by today's standards, I bet you that alabaster jar of nard would probably be worth about 80 grand a year. A year's wages, I'm guessing, on demographics. Let's say $70,000, $80,000 a year in that price range. Could you imagine one absolute moment to be poured out on the heads of Jesus? But I would say recently, actually last weekend, Jana and I went to an event. My company sent me to an event. It's a Vintner and International Chef event, and they gather all of these chefs and vintners from all over Earth. And of course, it's a company event, so I put Jana and all her cute little Chanel stuff and on and on and on. And she says, like a great wife, don't forget your business card. I'm like, oh, thank you. I have them right here. Put them in my pocket and go meet people. And let me tell you, when you have that much talent in one room, Spanish chefs, French, Australian, on and on and on, you can't have that kind of access all in one roof at one time. That's what Mary did. She brought access to pure nard, which is almost so rare in that moment. Can you imagine? And she brought it just to bless Jesus. A year's wages she poured out that day in her home onto the head of Jesus. And that is the right moment that it was being saved for, and she poured out her very best. And as I thought about it, how often do I pour out my very best? I don't always. I'm not always good at pouring out my very best. Are you? It's not easy. In fact, my homeless friend that I always tell you about, Tamika, she asked me the other day, is there any way you could send me a Walgreens gift card? She's out on the streets. Could you send me a Walgreens gift card? Could you send me a Popeyes or something close to where I'm kind of like sheltering at the moment? And you know what I did? I sent her a Walgreens gift card as I thought about it. And you know how much I sent her? $25. And I thought, that's kind of cheesy. What can you do for $25 at Walgreens? I might get her a few days or maybe even one moment, you know? And I felt a little bit guilty that I didn't do more for her. But sometimes I go with lower increments because in my moment of frightenedness, I think, how do I know she's going to get it? How do I know she's even going to activate it? I want to just make sure. You know, these are the kind of moments where, oh, okay, I'll pick a lower amount just in case she doesn't get around to it. But I shouldn't worry so much. Then what happens yesterday? I want to share this with you because I really learned a lot from her yesterday. She texted me this as she's wandering the streets. I don't want to stop doing this. Yes, Lord, to invite you into my heart to worship you, Lord, with me. Glory to God. Although I'm in pain, mighty God, I will still praise him. Well, I have tissue, baby. Please. Well, thank you. She says, while I have a heart that beats and lungs that breathe in me, although I'm suffering, mighty God, my worship is so much bigger than my agony. Yes, Lord. Thank you, sweet Jesus. I'm believing in bigger things made possible. Glory to God. Beyond anything I've ever had, beyond other people's doubts about me, making fun at my expense. Mighty God, beyond their laughter, there is my faith holding in you all the way to the living word of God. Jesus. Jesus. I'm going to keep raising my hands and open my heart. Yes, Lord. Rest on your living word. Glory in his mighty praise. Worshiping you. Jesus, I'm not lying. I advise you to do the same. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Thank you, Jesus. And I gave her $25. That's worth 10 times that amount just to have that blessing sent. Amen? Lord, bless her today as she wanders the streets. But I wanted to mention that today because truly, truly, are we pouring out our best? We could do more, amen? We could do more. We can always do more. I withheld on her, and then the Lord almost made this come back to me from her heart and almost convict me because I could pour out more. And I should do more. That's just how I feel personally. But aren't mothers the same way? They pour out. Mothers would do almost anything to protect us. Amen? To help us grow. They pour out their very best into our lives. And I would say, sometimes it might sound like your mom, or sometimes it might not. Since we were talking about Annie, maybe your mom was like Miss Hannigan. I wouldn't know. Do you remember Miss Hannigan? Oh, Carol Burnett was the funniest mom. There was a lady I used to work with years ago. She was such a selfish person. She really didn't connect much with her children and wouldn't say she loved them, wouldn't hug them. The husband would remind her and on and on. And then she's Japanese, and then they went to visit Japan. And then an earthquake hit, and you know what Mayumi did? Actually, I have her. Where's her pen? Oh, maybe I dropped it, hon. But I was wearing her pin a little bit earlier on my collar here, but Mayumi gave me this pin. But when she took her kids to Japan and the earthquake hit, guess who ran and left the kids behind? Mayumi. She said, halfway down the road, and I realized what a selfish person I was. There it is. Thank you, babe. She said, halfway down the road, and I realized I left my kids behind and how selfish I was. So when you think about how moms can be so different, there's a truth and an honesty. But thank God that most moms pour out their very best selflessly, amen? Being a mom is about denying yourself and serving the loved ones in their home, hallelujah. It's because of their sacrifice, amen, that we learn what true service and servitude is all about. That is the message of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? To be first in his kingdom, we must be last. That's a servant heart. Hallelujah. So our second point this morning is this. Whew, that story, that little thing from Tamika broke me up. I apologize. No, I shouldn't apologize. That's a touch from the Lord. Amen. This girl needs to become a preacher. She should be a. She should go join Proctor Prosser. I'm thinking of it, Pastor Prosser. Second point is this. Mothers set the tone of the home and the family. Do you believe that? When Jana's bummed out or not feeling the greatest, there's a weird vibe in our house. And I know when something's wrong. Men? I know when something's wrong. I'm like, you want to tell me anything, babe? What did I do? What did I do? That's usually what I say. What did I do? Mothers are so important. When something's off, we all sense it immediately. Mark 14 actually begins on a sad note. We're thinking about the future burial of Jesus, is what this whole message is about. Jesus knew that his time was short. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking to what? Kill him. That's what this whole scripture is about. His disciples sensed his uneasiness. He was setting that tone. They sensed that uneasiness moment. And Jesus knew he would triumph over death, yet he still had to go through the agony of his future death. And he agonized in the garden, did he not? And walks in who? Mary, with her jar of perfume. The atmosphere when she did that turned from sadness to actual anger. She angered them. Judas protests that moment that Mary is wasting money. And Jesus stops and corrects him. But you know what's weird? That jar didn't even belong to Judas in the first place. What is homeboy tripping about in the first place, right? It doesn't even belong to you. Why are you piping in, guy? Lots of people are critics, aren't they? Do you know critics? It's so easy to just let your mouth. The Lord gives us mouths and sometimes we just can't help ourselves. Bah, 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 bah. And that's exactly what he did. Oh, what a waste. What a this, what a that. It can be sold for a year's wages. Acting like all of a sudden Mary's like the biggest criminal on earth. But Mary's nurturing side set a new tone in that home at that moment. And the tone was something that was beautiful. It showed sacrifice. It showed love. It showed kindness, humility, and acceptance. So I tell you, mothers can set that nurturing aspect, can set the tone in the home and in the family. Dr. Laura Schlesinger, who used to have a radio show, she says it this way. I believe most women don't appreciate how much they are responsible for the tone in the home and the entire family. This statement is not about placing fault or blame. It is about acknowledging the incredible power women have in impacting those around them. Both children and husbands are inexorably dependent upon the approval, appreciation, and acceptance of mom. Without that, they are desolate and they behave badly. CJ, one of her listeners, wrote to her and said that it was about 5 years and four children into her marriage when resentment hit. Can you imagine that? Resentment hit. She was tired of her schedule as a mom, cleaning, the kids, the dinners, shopping, and everything. Do you know those moments? She even began to lose her sense of being in love with her husband. And so she decided to counter this. She would develop a sense of humor. She started to cut back on the chores and focus instead on paying more direct attention to her husband. Honey, are you listening? This is, of course, the complete opposite of what Pop Psych would tell women in the magazines and everything else. These sources genuinely would recommend when a lady's in this spot that when a woman is fed up with her life, that it's time for the spas, the solo vacations, girlfriend time, plastic surgery, divorces. This is all in the search of getting one's own needs met. But CJ did the opposite. She decided to turn that energy into affection and attention towards her husband. How did that get her needs met, you might ask? She says it this way. CJ says, I started to ignore the house and pay more attention to him. Instead of just telling him I loved him, I told him I adored him. I made those little calls during the day just to remind him. When he came home tired, I started to indulge him and not resent him. When we were in mixed company, I always went out of my way to compliment what he's done for me or the kids. I always brag about what a great dad he is. Is this a Dad's Day sermon? What is? I realized that I chose this life, so I made myself appreciate all that I had, and pretty soon I believed it. It almost sounds like a Jedi mind trick. I will appreciate. You may call it stroking his ego, but it paid off. The more attention I paid, the more that I received myself. He was not interested in a perfect house as he was in having an adoring wife. That was more important to him. I became her and thus fell back in love with him and our life. In return, I was given love, and I learned that my mood set the mood for the entire family. Thank God for a woman's motherly heart to encourage us all on. Amen. We never want to forget the power that we have as individuals to really set the tones in our homes and in our families. And I said I wouldn't read earlier. I thought to myself I wouldn't read Proverbs 31, but I think I'm going to. I'm going with vintage. Why not? Let's just see part of it here. I'll read it quickly because we have some nice socializing to do at the end. Proverbs 31 says it this way: a wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband full of confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark. Honey, that's not you. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She's clothed with fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity and can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Wow, that's good. That is good. And that'll lead right into our last point this morning, which is this: through godly families, amen, mothers leave lasting legacies. Hallelujah. Don't you like legacies? The words of Jesus: I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. She laid down a lasting legacy as we finish today through her service. And it makes you want to ask yourself a question: how do I want to be remembered? There's so many things I don't need to be remembered for, but I tell you one thing: someone that serves the Lord, amen. Today, mothers have the same beautiful opportunity. Mothers all over the world are to be praised for their lasting legacies, because they are truly establishing homes, laying down a legacy of love for the Lord, lives that will be remembered in Christ Jesus. I didn't know my grandmother from my mother's side. Do you ever have those moments where you didn't get a chance to know someone that you wish you had? My grandmother from my mom's side passed away when I was about 6-ish, but my mom would tell me a story that she loved me so much, so I wish I could remember her. She would just come right through the house, not say much, pick me up, have her bag, and say, "He'll be back Monday," and she'd just take me. And I would love to be able to have known her more, but my mother, about a year ago, put a picture of her mom and herself in similar age when they were both about 8 years old. They look exactly the same. I get to see my grandmother Joyce in my mother's face, amen? And truly, when you think about it, this is how I will remember her. Verse 8 says this: Jesus says, she did what she could. Isn't that a good way for Jesus to put it, talking about Mary? She did what she could. Mothers are in the business of doing what they can, amen? Making sure we have a stable home, praying for us, and all this. A well-balanced lunch to take to school. There were no Lunchables when I was a kid. You couldn't just go pick it up. And there was a little cheese and cracker thing. You remember that? They help us pay for books in college, help us coordinate wedding plans, Help us when we have our first children and they become grandmothers, all these things. Mothers do all that they can, and we love them and thank them and remember them for it, because that is a true legacy. So as we conclude this morning, I just wanted to end this way. Do not find your lives so busy that you neglect the great motherly figures that are in your life, placed by God. Amen? Hallelujah. Who was important in raising you? For truly, as Proverbs 31 states, give her the reward she has earned. Today, honey, that's Thai food. And her works bring her praise. Today we honor God's mothers, and may our mothers today be clothed in strength and dignity, honor, respect, adoration, and love. Hallelujah. May their legacy of praising God and worshiping our Lord in their families endure forever, impact our hearts. May the tone that our mothers set teach us about the nature of Christ Jesus Himself. And may the best that our mothers pour out, like that alabaster jar, return to them in greater measure. Hallelujah. May the legacy of love teach and touch our hearts always. My mother sent me this book. And I was actually, it's one of those, what do you call it? The yearly devotion of the Psalms. And I was actually ahead of schedule initially at the beginning of the year. Then I fell behind massively. So this morning, as I read February 21st, I fell behind massively. I read these words and I thought, this is what we can pray over our mothers today. Or those that are motherly to someone in a spiritual sense. Hallelujah. Psalm 28, 6 through 9. Praise be to the Lord, for He has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength, and He is my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and He helps me. My heart leaps for joy, and with my song I praise Him. The Lord is the strength of His people, a fortress of salvation for His anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be the shepherd and carry them forever. Amen. So I'd like to invite our mothers to stand today. If you would stand, please. And we're going to pray over your lives. Psalm 28. Go ahead and close your eyes and raise your hands, or raise your hands towards our mothers. Praise be to the Lord for our mothers today. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. For Lord, we know that You hear our mothers' cries for mercy when they need it. Mercy and help. Lord, we ask You to be their strength when they are weakened. Be, Lord God, their shield when they feel almost in that sense, Lord, weakened at those moments in life, which happens to all of us, Lord. Be their strength. Be their shield. Be the heart that trusts, hallelujah, in the Lord. We ask our mothers today. Be the God that helps them, stirs them on, strengthens their feet to keep going, hallelujah, for their families and for all that they go through. Even when the complexities of families seem overwhelming and too much, Lord God, be their strength, their shield, their help, hallelujah. And Lord, may their heart leap for joy when You give them that strength in Jesus' name. With their lips, Lord, may they continue to sing praises into their family, holding up the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, and strengthen our families, Lord God, as a fortress of salvation, as Your anointed one has said, hallelujah. And not only that, Lord, but save the people in our families through the example of our mothers, Lord. For those young people that need to come to know Christ Jesus, those husbands that need to know Jesus in a greater way, save the people in our families, hallelujah, so we can have an inheritance in mighty God's name. Thank You, Lord. And Lord, lastly, we ask for You to continue to be the shepherd over the lives and the mindsets and the hearts of our mothers today. Those who have been motherly to the people that need You, Lord God, and carry them forever. And in Jesus' name we pray this special blessing upon the mothers You've given us. Amen. Mothers, be blessed, and now let's have some great time truly honoring You today. And have some great time with some wonderful food back here, a nice international collection of chefs. Amen.